Welcome to the Shortwave Report. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. The Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on a shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcast at home is quite easy. You just need a shortwave radio with a schedule of English language broadcast or a computer or smartphone with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's outfarpress.com, you can listen to the past 5 shortwave reports, find advice for listening to shortwave at home, and find internet links for global news sources. Please check it out and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from NHK Japan, Radio Havana Cuba, Russia's Sputnik Radio, and Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. We'll begin with NHK Japan. Like most broadcasters around the world, Japan has gone into a more limited production of radio news. Since the imposition of a state of emergency, NHK has shifted to a much shorter format they call Newsline. On Tuesday, a state of emergency was declared in parts of Japan to fight the coronavirus for 1 month. It is not a lockdown. The government is considering nationwide drive-through testing for the virus. The head of the World Health Organization has pushed back against criticism of racial bias made by Trump. Monday was the last day of regular NHK World Radio broadcast, and they had this important report on plans to release more radioactive water from the Fukushima nuclear plant into the Pacific Ocean, claiming it would stay close to shore. NHK Japan.
Prime Minister Abe Shinzo is calling for cooperation as many Japanese face the reality of limited outings and the closure of some stores. Abe declared a state of emergency on Tuesday to fight against the rapid nationwide spread of the coronavirus.
I strongly believe that it will be possible to get out of this situation by having the state of emergency in place for 1 month. If we reduce our contact with people by at least 70% or preferably 80%.
Abe's declaration, which came after the advice of a panel of experts, covers the following prefectures and metropolitan areas: Tokyo, Kanagawa, Saitama, Chiba, Osaka, Hyogo, and Fukuoka. It will be in place until May 6. The 7 governors can enact measures on their own to counter the virus. The government is not imposing a lockdown, as some foreign governments have. Officials want to minimize the impact on economic and social activities. Public transportation and supermarkets will remain open. In Japan, where the health ministry is planning to consider nationwide drive-through testing for the coronavirus, it's a bid to help expand the country's testing capacity to 20,000 samples per day. Drive-through tests allow people to be tested in their vehicle. Ministry officials say this helps reduce the risk of in-hospital infections while allowing effective testing. The method has already been introduced in parts of the country. The ministry says Japan now has capacity for up to 12,000 daily tests. It plans to increase the figure by supporting the installment of more testing equipment using the emergency economic package recently announced by the government. The ministry also aims to secure more workers to help conduct the tests. For the week ending on April 6, 4,000 tests a day on average were happening. Across Japan, over 500 new cases were reported on Wednesday, a record high. More than 4,900 people have now tested positive, including those who returned on the chartered flights from other countries. Another 712 cases were linked to the Diamond Princess cruise ship, which was quarantined near Tokyo earlier this year. More than 110 people have died, including 11 from the ship. The head of the World Health Organization has pushed back against accusations of bias. The remarks come after U.S. President Donald Trump called the WHO's handling of the pandemic China-centric.
The focus of all political parties should be to save their people. Please don't politicize this virus.
The WHO chief said the group works closely with every country and does not discriminate by race. He urged the U.S. and China to join forces to fight the virus. Earlier, Trump said the WHO seemed to be too focused on China. He threatened to cut fundings for the organization. The U.S. contribution accounts for about a quarter of the WHO budget. Amid the spat, the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres has urged nations to work together in solidarity. He said the virus was unprecedented in our lifetime and required an unprecedented response.
The operator of Japan's crippled Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant has made public a simulation showing the flow of radioactive wastewater released into the ocean from the plant. Tokyo Electric Power Company says winds and tides will spread the wastewater in an elongated shape along the coastline. The Japanese government has been looking into ways to dispose of the roughly 1.2 million tons of wastewater accumulated at the plant, which contains approximately 860 trillion becquerels of tritium. Tokyo Electric's simulation estimated the area of water that would contain more than one becquerel of radioactive materials per liter. The simulation shows when water containing 100 trillion becquerels of radioactive materials is released each year, the area would be 2 kilometers offshore from the plant and stretch 30 kilometers from north to south. When wastewater with 22 trillion becquerels of radioactive materials is released per year, it would spread 700 meters from shore and stretch 3 kilometers from north to south. A government panel said in a report released in February, releasing diluted radioactive water into the ocean or air are realistic options. The head of the International Atomic Energy Agency expressed some understanding for the plan, but the proposal drew opposition from local fishermen and others. Tokyo Electric has yet to show its simulation of wastewater released into the air.
Those reports were from NHK Radio Japan. They have altered their schedule and are now heard from 9:30 to 10 p.m. at 5975-7245 and 11970 or on the web at www.nhk.or.jp. All the times I announced are for Pacific Daylight Saving Time, so please adjust them to your time zone. On to Radio Havana, Cuba. The United Nations Economic Commission for Latin America has urged the U.S. to lift blockades against Cuba and Venezuela. A Pentagon paper which was leaked to the press contradicts Trump's claim that the pandemic came out of nowhere and took the government by surprise. The current editor of WikiLeaks says that the conditions in Belmarsh Prison, where Julian Assange is being held, could be far worse than officials admit. The Cuban foreign minister expressed support for the former Ecuadorian President Correa, who was sentenced to 8 years in prison in a questionable bribery case. Radio Havana, Cuba.
The UN Economic Commission for Latin America and the Caribbean has urged the United States to lift its blockade against Cuba and Venezuela. It said it is a necessary action at a time when the COVID-19 is deteriorating the prospects of all Latin American economies. It is solidarity time, it's not time to exclude, ECLAC said and stressed that U.S. sanctions prevent those countries from buying food and medical supplies. This all for solidarity among nations occurs at a time when U.S. President Donald Trump maintains Navy warships, surveillance aircraft, and special forces teams deployed in the Caribbean Sea near Venezuela. This is one of the largest military actions by Washington in the region since the invasion of Panama in 1989 to overthrow General Manuel Antonio Noriega, the outlet Deutsche Welle recalled. The ECLAC Secretary Alicia Bárcena presented Latin America and the Caribbean in the face of COVID-19 pandemic, economic and social effects. A report that analyzes current scenarios and recommends policies for countering the impacts of the crisis. To flatten the disease curve without flattening the economy, ECLAC calls for governments to tackle the health emergency, the social emergency, and the economic emergency. A Pentagon paper leaked to the press over the weekend contradicts U.S. President Donald Trump's assertion that the current COVID-19 pandemic came out of nowhere and that it had taken by surprise his and previous administrations. According to a 2017 internal document reported by The Nation, for quite some time the Defense Department was aware of the likelihood of a pandemic brought on by a novel coronavirus. The paper predicts with startling accuracy shortages of masks, hospital beds, and ventilators that could occur in an outbreak. The 103-page document, which the magazine describes as an update to an earlier Defense Department pandemic influenza response plan, cites a novel respiratory illness as the most likely and significant threat in a pandemic situation. The document also warns that shortages of masks and ventilators would have a significant impact on the availability of the global workforce. The intelligence community and the military were well aware of what could and unfortunately did happen, said The Nation reporter in Washington, Ken Klippenstein, in an interview with NPR's program All Things Considered. Klippenstein said he obtained the document from a Pentagon official who requested anonymity. The reporter told All Things Considered that within intelligence circles, a coronavirus has been viewed as a likely threat going back at least 5 years.
WikiLeaks editor-in-chief Christine Hrafnason has told the Russia Today or RT News agency that conditions in London's Belmarsh prison, where Julian Assange is being held, could be worse than officials are willing to admit, adding that COVID-19 could swiftly tear through the facilities. A prison environment is like a petri dish for a virus, Hrafnason explained, particularly such a highly infectious one as the novel coronavirus, which has already struck more than 1 million people around the world. The maximum security Belmarsh prison, where the WikiLeaks founder is being kept pending extradition to the United States, has just reported its first death from the disease. The situation is alarming for Assange, who was in poor health before the outbreak of the deadly disease. Hrafnason noted, quote, Assange is in very bad shape. He is a very vulnerable individual, especially to a virus like COVID-19. He has an underlying lung condition and would be considered at great risk even if living normally in society. He's in a situation when his life is in danger every day and every hour. The WikiLeaks editor-in-chief said that British authorities are in denial of their duties by neglecting Assange as well as other prisoners who are behind bars in present circumstances. Cuban Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez has expressed Cuba's support for former Ecuadorian President Rafael Correa, who was sentenced to 8 years in prison and to be politically ineligible for 25 years in what is now called the bribery case or sobornos in Spanish. The foreign minister confirmed on Twitter his and the Cuban government's and people's confidence in the former president of Ecuador and rejection of recent judicial proceedings against Latin American leftist leaders. For many, Correa's conviction for alleged bribery amounts to the government's persecution of the former president. The conviction was imposed by a court judge made up of judges Ivan León, Ivan Sacchiela, and Marco Rodriguez, who were in charge of investigating the alleged payment of bribes by businessmen between 2012 and 2016. These accusations have been rejected by Rafael Correa and former members of the ruling political party. As part of the case, former Vice President Jorge Glass and 20 others, including former officials of Correa's government, such as Alexi Mera, Maria de los Angeles Duarte, Walter Solis, and Vinicio Alvarado, were also sentenced to similar terms. The main evidence for the conviction was a notebook, considered by several lawyers to be forged, which contained notes reportedly written in 2018 by a former advisor, Pamela Martinez, who received a reduced sentence of 38 months in prison for her cooperation.
Those reports were from Radio Havana, Cuba. Cuba's web stream worked well this week through Wednesday, at their website, radiohc.cu, but their podcast links still remain unavailable. On shortwave, Cuba may be heard from noon to 1 p.m. at 15140, and from 6 p.m. to midnight at either 6000, 6060, 6100, or 6165. Next, Russia Sputnik Radio. On his program called Going Underground, Afshin Ratansi spoke with Australian journalist John Pilger. The excerpt we will hear includes political reasons why people in the UK are suffering from coronavirus, who is responsible for the ongoing Saudi bombings in Yemen, and the US war of sanctions which affect one quarter of the world's population. Sputnik Radio.
But let's go straight to John Pilger, whose film The Dirty War and the NHS arguably predicted the kind of crisis today at the heart of Britain's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. He joins me from Sydney in Australia.
There is a political reason why people are suffering from coronavirus. Many of them may not want to confront that, but it's so. The reason is that the National Health Service, the visionary National Health Service, the world's first public health service, was decimated over a period of time, and if you read the Thatcherite documents, by stealth. That's the word they use, by stealth. Surreptitiously, since the 1980s, speeded up through the years of New Labour, but especially accelerating from 2012 under the David Cameron-led coalition government. What we've had so far is a lot of speculation from these modellers that, as I say, gone from the extreme of, I think, 500,000 was one, down to hardly anyone at all. Why are we depending on this charade of statistics, when in fact it's very clear from the countries that have succeeded in, if not seeing off the coronavirus, in dealing with it successfully, such as Germany, South Korea, Taiwan, even impoverished Vietnam, certainly in China itself, why are we not seeing mass testing across the country? Yes, it's happened in pockets and it's happening belatedly, but also it's happening belatedly that ventilators have finally arrived. Now, in that drill exercise in 2016 I mentioned, one of the issues that arose was that there weren't enough ventilators. That's 4 years ago. There weren't enough ventilators.
Antonio Guterres of the United Nations wants a global ceasefire during the coronavirus pandemic. In the context, I have to say, of the Labour Shadow Foreign Secretary, who's just been appointed here, Lisa Dandy, saying Israeli atrocities must not be condemned because it would be anti-Semitic to do so. What do you make of the bombs flying around the world during this time of coronavirus? Israel bombed Syria in the past few days. And, of course, Saudi Arabia has been bombing Yemen, and U.S. warships are headed towards Venezuela.
Saudi Arabia doesn't give a damn about coronavirus. It hasn't given a damn about so-called world opinion because it's backed by the United States and Britain. Britain is in there not only supplying it with much of its equipment, but helping it identify targets in one of the poorest, if not the poorest, country on Earth, a country that has been ravaged by a cholera epidemic, where most children suffer extreme malnutrition. Saudi Arabia continues to bomb this country with when I say our, I mean UK and US assistance. More than assistance, they wouldn't be able to do it without the planes, the bombs, and the expertise that come from our countries. But, you know, coronavirus hasn't stopped the war of sanctions. It's the war of blockades, rather. A quarter of the world's population is currently under American sanction. That is, it's blockaded in one form or another. One of those countries worst hit by coronavirus is Iran. And the United States has continued to turn the screw on this country, a country that sat down with all the states of the EU, with the United States, with Russia, and signed an agreement. It was Donald Trump that tore it up, and now this country, Iran, can't get the medical supplies it needs. It can't get particularly cancer drugs. This kind of almost medieval siege of countries. Venezuela is another one. And yet, do you know that Venezuela is actually coping with the coronavirus? It's extraordinary. And they've managed to test widely, to track the pattern of the disease, and so on, while they're under blockade from the United States, while American naval ships are sitting off the coast of Venezuela. And I remind you, of course, I don't have to, that Venezuela is actually the source, the greatest source of oil on Earth. These wars go on.
John Pilger, thank you.
That interview was by Avshin Ratansi on Sputnik Radio, the current name for the Voice of Russia, available online at rt.com. If you have questions or comments about the shortwave report or could make a donation for production cost of this unfunded program, I may be reached through the website and PayPal or by writing to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490. Almost all the funding this freely distributed program receives is from individual listener donations. Please, if you find this program beneficial, help support it like numerous listeners have done over the years. We will conclude with Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. A number of brief updates on the virus around the world, including Saudi claims of a ceasefire. In Wuhan, China, the lockdown on citizens has been lifted, though epidemic prevention measures remain in force. Denmark has decided to lift its four-week-long lockdown, with many schools and businesses to reopen next week. Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle.
The head of the EU's top science organization has resigned. Mauro Ferrari says that he faced institutional and political obstacles while trying to swiftly set up a scientific program to combat the virus. And South Korea's capital, Seoul, has shut down more than 400 bars and discos over concerns of coronavirus transmission. Authorities also plan to further tighten border controls. And a global condom shortage is looming due to the virus lockdown measures in major production hubs like Malaysia. The UN warns of devastating public health consequences. The video conferencing app Zoom has become popular with people isolating at home, but is coming under pressure over security concerns. The U.S. Senate has now barred members from using the service following a similar ban by parts of the German government. Google has also told its employees to avoid it. Saudi Arabia has announced a two-week ceasefire in the war in Yemen coming into effect today. The move is believed to have been motivated by the global coronavirus outbreak. Houthi forces aligned with Iran have not said if they will observe the ceasefire.
Hungary has discovered more than 100 infections at a care center for senior citizens in the capital Budapest. Russia has seen a record daily spike in confirmed virus cases, nearly 1,500 new infections. And Spain's prime minister says the country may be nearing the peak of its epidemic. Lawmakers there are set to vote on extending lockdown measures by another 2 weeks.
A months-long lockdown starts to ease in Wuhan today, the Chinese city where the coronavirus outbreak was first reported. The city's drastic measures have served as a model for countries battling the coronavirus around the world. After 11 weeks, Chinese authorities are now allowing residents of Wuhan more freedom of movement. This milestone coming as China reported no new deaths on Tuesday.
It's about time. As the clock struck midnight in Wuhan, one of the major lockdown measures was removed, outbound travel. An impressive light show marked the occasion, featuring health workers and the words heroic city. Others weren't pausing to celebrate. Instead, thousands of travellers flocked to catch trains or take advantage of removed roadblocks.
I feel great. The epidemic has maybe stabilized to some extent, so we're able to travel now.
Wuhan has lost a lot in this epidemic, and its people have paid a big price. Now that the lockdown has been lifted, I think we're all pretty happy.
It's the city where the coronavirus outbreak began. Many people have been trapped for more than 2 months. They will leave Wuhan to rejoin friends, family, and return to work.
I came back before Lunar New Year and planned to stay for a few days. It wasn't even 2 days and it was announced Wuhan would be locked down and I couldn't leave, so I've been stuck here the whole time.
The easing of the lockdown comes as China reported no new coronavirus deaths for the first time since it started publishing figures. But authorities still urge caution.
Zero new COVID-19 cases does not mean zero risk. The lifting of the lockdown does not mean the lifting of epidemic prevention and control.
Wuhan has been breathing a tentative sigh of relief. More shops are open and there are more people on the street. Though a return to normality in Wuhan appears far off. Various restrictions on movement within the sprawling metropolis will remain in place to guard against a second wave of infections.
Well, with the coronavirus still claiming lives and paralyzing societies all over the world, it might not seem the right moment to talk about lifting lockdowns, but Denmark is about to begin doing just that.
For about 4 weeks, it's been quiet on the streets of Denmark. Now the restrictions on public life are to be dialed down. People in Copenhagen have mixed feelings.
I think it's too early.
In my opinion, it's the right thing to do. I'm not worried that it's too soon.
Of course, there is discussion whether infections will rise, but I think it's a good move.
The biggest step is the reopening of kindergartens and schools after Easter, but only certain classes and age groups will be allowed back. Strict home office rules for private sector workers are also being relaxed. The government's reasoning for the move: the number of COVID-19 patients in hospitals is beginning to fall.
The message from our health ministry is that it is reasonable and appropriate to begin a controlled reopening of the country. But it comes with conditions: that we all continue to keep our distance, wash our hands, and avoid groups of people.
Denmark's borders will remain closed until at least the 10th of May. And the ban on large events and festivals will stay in place until the end of August.
Those reports were from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which may be heard at a combined audio-video website, dw.com. One of my goals in producing the show is to encourage people like you to listen to international broadcast, get a global perspective. You could use a shortwave radio at home. It's simpler than you might think, although interference from your electronic devices will make it quite difficult. If you use the internet, listening globally is even easier and noise-free. See the links at this program's website. Every Thursday evening, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows. Please consider making a safe donation online through PayPal. There's a link at the website along with the podcast link, and get advice for listening at home. The Shortwave Report, which is now in its 23rd year of production, remains free to rebroadcast upon notification. The Shortwave Report is produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.